The beauty of Podcast Razor is that we can just sit down and do one at any time, whether we love to or not. No, actually, that's true. We love doing it right here on Morning Brew with Jaffe and Razor. We welcome you into a special brew. The kind of brew, I guess, that jolts you a little bit. No, maybe not that much, as a couple of things happened in the last 24 hours since you and I last sat down to do a morning brew. And we didn't even discuss one of them. We didn't. Brad Marchand getting suspended. We didn't address it in the post-game show. We didn't address it in Morning Brew. In fact, we lauded him for his game, and yet the NHL found an element to his game that they didn't like and suspended him 3 games for a slew foot on one of his run-ins with Oliver Ekman-Larsson. The other thing that we're going to quickly discuss here on this special brew is something that you actually did bring up, my friend, later in our last show about you thought I was going to ask you, when is it, meaning when is it done? When's enough with Jake DeBrusk? And I wasn't going to ask you that, but yet it was very appropriate that you mentioned something because it has come out since that Jake has asked for a trade. Which one do you want to go with first? You want to go to thoughts on Marchand or you want to go to Jake first?
Yeah, let's do Brad just because I flat out missed it. Didn't think anything of it. Quite interesting the amount of other slew foots that we've seen that were prominent, especially PK Subban, number one this season, just the last 2-3 weeks. And I'm curious what your thoughts are on, is this kind of a culmination of Brad Marchand's week dealing with Panarin, his high hit on Ryan Reeves? Now this, over the weekend, is the NHL putting all of these things together and saying, all right, Brad needs a bit of a timeout before we let him loose again? Or is this directly just that play? Because technically that's what it's supposed to be. I know you're allowed to bring bad behavior in again, but it's been a long time since he's done anything quote unquote dirty to this extent. So I'm curious what you think.
Okay. I don't think it has anything to do with the Reeves hit. I don't think it has anything to do. I don't think it has anything to do with the Panarin glove throwing incident because I don't know what was specifically said, whether it was right or wrong. I don't know. If the league knows, can they hold it against them? I guess they can, but can they say overtly or honestly? No, they can't. You know what I mean? That's just a little subconscious. Yeah. Right. So I'm going to say no, those things don't have anything to do with it. But being Brad Marchand to the league does. And
yeah,
I talked with people at league and his history, and in their eyes, extensive history, played into this. He had a slew foot back in 2000, I think it was 15, on Derek Brassard that was very similar. Now, people get confused. They say, well, he's not a repeat offender because it wasn't in the last 18 months. That has nothing to do with suspension. That's about fining, et cetera. You can still use their history against them. And so three things worked against Brad in this instance, in my opinion. One, that he's Brad Marchand. That's one. Two, and I don't think there's any love lost with the league with him. Okay.
Yeah.
They think he's a phenomenal player. My take is they know how phenomenal of a player he is, but his history matches that in their eyes, I think, or at least gets up to there in their eyes. Two, his previous play on Derek Brassard, and they feel he has a history of this. Three, Kevin LeBanc got suspended for this from San Jose Sharks, this almost exact same play about a week ago, maybe 2 weeks
ago.
Yeah,
it was. Yeah, it was within 10 days.
So those three things culminated, in my opinion, or the reason that this culminated in a suspension. Now, after I saw the play, and this is where I'm going to ask you, when you saw it, before you knew what the amount of games was, when you saw what they were reviewing, And again, it's worth repeating. We did not talk about it on in-game or the post-game. And we, you and I, did not talk about it on Morning Brew. So I fully missed it as well. Okay? But when yep. you watch it over and over, can you make an argument for it? All right, maybe you can for kind of. Take out of the fact, Razor, that it there were others that you make PK Subban as the perfect example that were called, but they weren't called, right? Mm-hmm. Example, yeah. but take that out of the equation. So if you just look at it, you could say, okay, maybe one game, fine, maybe one you want to. Two, I don't really like two, but three, holy shit, are you kidding me? That's where I get, that's where I lose it. So a long-winded way of saying, those are the things that I think worked against him. I do not agree with the three games on that one. And I wouldn't agree with it, by the way, if it was another player too. It's not because it's a Boston Bruin. It's because they just went from zero, you know, to whatever, in my yeah. opinion on this.
It's harsh. Three's harsh, and it sets a precedent. I suppose it's something they're trying to do is set the precedent and not have it in the league. And who better than Brad Marchand? It's going to get a lot more traction than Kevin LeBanc, his suspension for the same play. Brad's is going to get a lot of traction. Everyone's going to see it. Everyone in the league's going to take notice. It was in watching the replay, it was in a bad spot. It's in a dangerous spot. It's in that 6-7 feet away from the boards. If it's another foot closer, Ekman Larson's in real big trouble. And yep. and Brad could be in big trouble at that point too. So for those reasons, all right, one game. And I think his reputation's the extra two. That's the way you see it with hindsight. But like you said, I didn't think anything of it. I thought the play he had in front of the net with Ekman Larson in the third period was as dangerous, where he falls on top of Yarrow with Ekman Larson and they're going at it in front of the net. And so those plays happen a lot, and that's where, again, mm-hmm. it's certainly, like you said, the NHL does have its backup for Brad, and that's never going to change no matter how many points he gets. And this is another example of that, another proof of that.
I think there's probably a group of guys at the NHL, group of people, I shouldn't say guys, people, who look at Brad and almost reluctantly or begrudgingly accept his superstardom. Now, early in his mm-hmm. career, you can't defend him for some of the shit he did. I can't. I won't speak for you. You can't.
No. Yeah,
but I think
playing against him. I played against him. He's like, this guy's the worst.
Okay,
you know, like he had that. You know, you play against him. He's like, holy smokes, this guy, enough. But he's growing out of that. But it's going to fall.
And for somebody, and for people that I mean, I think people know you via your broadcasting now and your personality. I'm going to tell you something, folks. Razor is one of the most, at least for my met, mellow NHLers, former NHLers that I've ever met. So for him to say that this guy's the worst, I mean, you know, meaning as a player, you judge each other differently when you're on the ice with guys and everything. But, you know, you're admitting you did not, you know, your teams,
yeah.
you were involved, didn't like him. But he's changed.
Yeah, absolutely. And
he's not perfect. He's not perfect.
No, and again, that's where I'm going. You know, I wonder to those people in the National League watching that game on national TV on ABC on against the Rangers and seeing that, and how much, you know, mm-hmm. was it a culmination, the two things together, and did maybe that caused him an extra game? Maybe it was only going to be two, and then what happened on Friday on national TV is something else where they're like, yeah, let's throw the hammer at this guy.
Maybe. This is a big loss. How's that for an understatement? This is a major loss for a team that can't afford major losses right now. They can't. Because the I guess the scary part is that, at least it already feels like to me, less than 20 games in, that they're already in the playoff race. You know, they're 18 games in and they're already in it. And I know you've got a little bit of perspective on it.
It's going to be a long year for you, Billy.
I know.
That's why I'm not going to do it to my. I'm not going to do it to myself. I think maybe it's more self-inflicted, where I'm just not going to think that way because I can't day to day for these situations. A perfect example of right now.
Exactly. I try not to. And I just say, holy, you know, but because they're a team that beats the teams they should beat, but can't beat the teams that they need to, the ones above them, right? I look at it like with this opportunity against Detroit coming up, which is a scrappy team on Tuesday. I'm like, oof. So now you got Brad Marchand out of the lineup. Now, is that the end of the world? No, you can still win without him.
No, yeah.
That's a big loss. He's their best all-around player. There's no question.
No question. And listen, Pasternak's going to have to pick up the slack. There's other guys. You know, that's the idea. That's the motivation. And I guess we'll segue. I think we could segue into this.
Right.
The one guy that's not picking up the slack this week is Jake DeBrusk.
Right. And it perfectly segues into this too, because until about 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock today, when the report came out about the hypothetical razor that you threw out there last night, you know, when's enough enough? When is this over? You asked that question beautifully, you know, rhetorically asking last night. I don't know if you knew anything or not, but if you didn't, it was just the good finger on the pulse, which, by the way, this request for a trade doesn't surprise me. It just, I guess maybe it teensy surprised me this soon, but I think he just is saying screw it for him.
Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking he feels that he just can't win anymore.
That's why I asked the question. Cause I got that. I just felt it as a guy who's been around players that have been in and out of the lineup, as a guy who's been in and out of the lineup like that. You get to the point where, and you hear the word, oh, we're going to send a message. You can only send a message so many times until you have to move on. You just can't keep doing that to a young player. And if you do, there's going to be a breaking point. It felt like this was going to be the time because he hasn't been completely horrible. There was times last year where I'm sure he sat there and said, yeah, I have been bad. I don't think he saw himself being bad this year. Mm-hmm. And he was put a few goals in, and he probably just felt like he was the whipping boy. And this is going to happen for the next 62 games, and I got to find a way to get out of here. So I'm sympathetic to both sides of it. I'm sympathetic now watching and being a little more critical of players from afar, where I can understand where you want more out of them. But I can also sympathize when you feel as a player where there's nothing you can do to make anybody happy. And no matter what you do, you're still going to be the guy going to the ninth floor where it's time to move on. And Jake, it's not like Jake's bounced around. He can go somewhere else for the first time and see that the grass is not always greener, but for him, he thinks it will be right now.
So he's another young guy that the Bruins, especially a left shot winger, that in theory is going to be on the move. Do you have to package him with somebody to get back somewhat fair value? Does it matter anymore that he is a first round pick? Does it matter? Because your trading partner might say, well, we agree he's a first-round pick, but he doesn't have first-round numbers. So you're going to have a hard time. You're meeting expectations for a return for him right now.
I agree, and they're not. It's going to be cents on the dollar, and also I think the other thing that you can also I think you can see, and I think the organization can see, is that there's some guys you get rid of and you feel confident they're not going to come back and haunt you. This is one of those guys where he could go somewhere else, and in the right fit on the right team that lets him go, could end up getting 25 goals again. Cause he has that kind of skill. And I think there's a little bit of that involved, where there's that trepidation where you, because really you're not going to get money, you know, from my point of view, it's like, get the money off the books, mm-hmm. have that banked, have that over here for whenever that deal comes, whether it's right before the Olympic break, right after the Olympic break, where you can go out and get the big time player then, because right now you're not getting the value for a Jake DeBrusk or your first round pick or whatever it is. And there's no reason to take on money that you're not sure will fit. I think you want to know what this team is before you go out and spend that $3 million bucks that you're giving up with Jake right now.
I'd agree. I would almost take the other tack, though, if they can do this. And they may have limited trading partners, and this is why it might be hard to do, but I'd almost try and package him and make a bigger deal, personally. I would maybe try to, because I still think, and I said this on the show whether it was last night or before, I still think something's missing with this team. Mm-hmm. And so if I can package that and get, I mean, so if you do a DeBrusque and whether it's one of your D-men or one of your better prospects, which you don't have a ton of, that's the problem. For somebody where you can take on something, I mean, you have to look to teams, you know, heck, I would do everything in my power if I can to trade with Vancouver. I'll tell you what, man, give me JT Miller. Give me JT freaking Miller any day, mm-hmm. you know, maybe I'm, you know, shooting for the stars, but why okay, say, hey, listen, your team's going nowhere. We're going to take, he's going to ask for $6-7 million a year. We're going to give you Jake. We're going to give you another quality player. We'll take that on and deal with, you know, getting his money back, or, you know, the Bruins have that money too, to add a player like that. They have that spot meaning.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So I would look for something like that. I would look to a team like Ottawa, maybe. Heck, I'd look to Dallas. Dallas is struck, you know, can you package it and get somebody out of Dallas? I mean, you're not going to get, you know, Miro Heiskanen. Is there somebody there that you want? I don't know. I'd have to go through the roster. But anyway, I mean, you know, my question was going to be as well, Razor. So with Brad out now for three games, and with Bleed out at least one, it feels to me like Anton's going to be out for three as well.
Yeah.
Five days, you know, yeah, even if it's a grade one stinger. Mm-hmm. Do you play Jake DeBrusque? Don't you have to? Or now do you, because you had Howla and DeBrusque out, you need two lefties, mm-hmm. or in theory lefties. Or are you just going to say now, Jake, we don't play you now. You have asked for a trade. We're going to protect the asset as much as we can, not get you exposed, especially you don't want poor performance, right?
No.
So now you've got to call somebody up from the A and you put Howla back in. So your lineup looks a whole lot freaking different than it did 24 hours ago.
Yeah, it's going to get moved around. And I think to the question of DeBrusque, it depends how many phone calls there were this afternoon regarding him. Right. If no one called, if no one wants him, then I guess you have that conversation with Jake. Like, listen, Jake's agent. Nothing's going on. There's nowhere for him to go. He needs to get back in the lineup and play his way into that. Then we're happy to deal him, but he needs to play his way into an asset. Or if there was 9 calls today and now they're just kind of sorting out where they can get the best deal, then he probably doesn't play. So to that point, I guess I think that will give us an idea of how much interest there is for Jake if he does play. Mm-hmm. And otherwise you get Hall in, you bring someone in to play on that fourth line.
Either you bring Stanika.
You talked about Steen or Stanika.
Or Steen, yep. Heck, you know what? I would take the energy of Chris Wagner right now. I don't know, you know, I haven't seen him play down there. I heard he's been a great pro. But here's the other comment/question. Are you moving Taylor Hall up to play with Patrice Bergeron and David Pastrnak and saying, you got to get going? Here you go, man.
Yep.
I am.
Yep. Here's your 20 minutes. No more excuses. You can't say you're not getting the look. This is it. Absolutely. Yeah. Taylor Hall's going there for sure, in my opinion.
Yeah, I would think so. And then, you know, you got Coyle and Smith. And then do you put DeBrusque there? If you're playing DeBrusque, I think you put him there. Believe it. I think you do. I mean, unless you're going to move Nick Foligno up there. I think Nick Foligno's better on a checking line role right now.
It's just hard for the way the organization's done business. I have a hard – it's going to take a lot. It's literally no phone calls, no interest for Jake to get in the lineup. Because it's just not something, it just doesn't feel like something they're really excited about to have this out in public and to put someone in right behind it. Just doesn't seem like something that would typically happen here, but be interesting. It'd be fun to talk about.
You know, we're sitting down here doing this on Monday night, late Monday night. It's going to be very interesting to see what it looks like on Tuesday at Morning Skate. We'll have answers then and maybe a little bit more clarity. This could be an opportunity because, you know, you've had Howla out of the lineup and now Are you going to keep him out? Or you bring him in? But, you know, this seems like
he's a perfect opportunity. He's 1,000% in.
Yeah. What about playing Jack Stanico over him? I mean, you got two games coming up. Can you just play Jack in the middle? You know, you put Nosek. I mean, I know you got Frederick in the middle, and we liked him better in the middle. There's a lot. This is a Rubik's Cube right now that is a hard thing to figure out.
Yeah. I mean, I would imagine it'll be three different lineups next 3 days. Just the way the coaches have moved players around, it's not going to stay the same no matter what. You know, probably in game, it's not going to stay the same now. They're going to move everybody around here the next three games.
Well, I'm going to be very curious to hear Bruce Cassidy's, you know, comments, Razor, about how he views this, how they handle it, how Jake handles it. Obviously the loss of Marchand is what it is. I mean, in the lane, I hate that statement, but there's nothing else to say about it. We both agree that we thought it was a bit excessive. We both think that the league has a bias towards him, and I think that's a pretty obvious understatement too. So, all right. Well, there's our takes on those two things. We like to call them a special brew. I don't know if it's really a good brew, but it's a special brew. And so I'm happy that we were able to get something out about it. We'll have to wait and see what comes of it on Tuesday.
It'll be interesting. Never a dull day in the National League.
Never one. All right, Boston Bruins take on the Detroit Red Wings on Tuesday night. That wraps up this special brew with Jaffe and Razor. Make sure, again, to check us out after Tuesday night's game. We will sit down after the Boston Bruins take on the Detroit Red Wings. That game is at 7:00. Pre-game show starts at 6 on Nesson. Make sure to tune in. And there will be a ton to talk about, no matter what, after Tuesday's game. Thanks for joining. As always, enjoy that wonderful, special, very special cup of coffee on this one.